Hey there, it's Colt Cabana. Thank you so much for checking out the past shows from the archives. All the past ones in this feed are ad-free. I took out all the ads. If this is something you like, you can listen to every single episode of the Art of Wrestling podcast dating back to 2010, absolutely ad-free for only $4 a month on my Patreon. That's patreon.com/Colt Cabana. All right, enjoy the show.
This is the Art of Wrestling with professional wrestler Colt Cabana.
All right, how you guys doing? Come on in, sit down, relax. You're about to listen to the Art of Wrestling, a professional wrestling podcast. It's a life podcast. It's a personal journal. It's an entryway into the minds and souls, the hearts and lives of the people involved in the world of professional wrestling. I am your host. My name is Colt Cabana. I'm a traveler. I'm a fest goer. I'm a burlesque appreciator. I'm a podcaster. I'm a live podcaster. Most importantly, though, I am a professional wrestler, and I am sitting here live in my studio apartment in Chicago, Illinois. Before I go any further, this is a fan-supported and listener-supported podcast supported by people just like you. We give it to you free of charge every single Thursday. ColtCabana.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts from. A couple great ways that you can support. Rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Tell a friend. Facebook it out. Best way that you can support, though, ColtMerch.com, DigitalColt.com, t-shirts, buttons, pictures, posters, DVD, The Wrestling Road Diaries 1, 2, and 3, and Wrestling Dreams. That is the new children's book that you will give to your child, will give to a friend's child, will give to yourself. Illustrated by Erica Weiss, Trism Books, DIY Books, and written by Erica and myself. Buy it there, I'll autograph it, and I'll send a video to the kid you want me to send it to. Ships November 9th at ColtMerch.com. Today, the Hangman is on the show for the first time ever. Hangman Page, part of being the elite, part of the Bullet Club, part of Ring of Honor, part of your lives. He's got a big part downstairs. That's what they're saying. There's a lot of heat over him and Joey Ryan. Joey Ryan, who I was hanging out with at both Lucha Vavoom and at Fest Wrestling. And I will be wrestling on his show, Bar Wrestling, in Los Angeles, California, November 9th. Where the match is the two body guys, Colt Cabana and Brian Cage. It's like, who is more jacked? You won't know unless you compare us side by side. There was a point when I was in FCW, Florida Championship Wrestling, where I think I was more jacked than Brian Cage. But then 7, 8, 9 years later, he is the machine and I am the Jewish worrying machine. We're both machines, just in different ways. Fun to hear Hangman's story. I don't know if it's really out there. I don't know how many podcasts he's doing. You know, his social media stuff is just clowning around with these dudes. And he's doing it well, making a name for himself. And you get to hear all about it. I'm trying to make a name for myself, putting out a child's book. Here's the thing. Hey, if you want to be a part of this child's book revolution, do you have a kid? Do you have a cute little kid? Are you friends with a cute little kid? Send a video over. ColtWrestling@gmail.com. Send a video over to me. The book is called Wrestling Dreams. My name is Colt Cabana. Have him or her or them or they send something cute and adorable. I'm going to put a little video together as part of a promotional tool. Yes, I am using your children or friends of children for promotional tools. Wrestling Dreams is the book. Colt Cabana is the name. The funnier, the better. Feel free to have your child make fun of me. Been a while since we talked because I put out the Pro Wrestling Fringe episode. Then there was the live show where Ryback and I that was an interesting one. I recommend you go and listen to it. Ryback and I, we kind of talk about the podcast past, some history that has dealt with both of us. And we do it in front of a live audience in New York City. I did a show in front of a live audience just last week in Gainesville, which was one of my favorite things I think I've ever done. It was at Fest. It was such an amazing crowd. People were so happy to see us. I had some fun guests on. Apparently, there was an overflow room because it was so sold out, or there's not. We couldn't let enough people in, that there was a basement where they were showing it. I didn't even know that until the next night. So I'm on a big kick from that. I'm on a big vibe, but I haven't talked to you guys in a while. Since we last spoke, I wrestled Yano at Global Wars in Chicago. It was at the Odeum. I was at the very first ECW show at the Odeum. You can see us, myself and Justin Roberts. I was a month into training, and Justin Roberts and I had become friends because he would come down to the camp sometimes, and that Jewish geography kind of put us together. And so he said, hey, I got a ticket. And I was like, well, I love ECW. And even at that point, I was like, I don't know if I'm allowed to be a fan though anymore, because now I'm in the biz. You know what I'm saying, brother? But I still went, and it was amazing then to go back 18, 19 years later. Those are some of the fun memories of being a fan and then becoming a wrestler and then doing stuff that you did as a fan, if that made sense. Same thing happened when I wrestled Gene Snitsky at the Allstate Arena, and he took my boot off. That was the night after the WrestleMania in Chicago. I don't know if anyone ever remembers that. It was on Heat. It was Snitsky and Goldust versus me and Jay Bradley, Bradley J, Aiden O'Shea, Ryan Murdoch. Ryan Murdoch? Ryan Braddock. A man with many names. I had two stories that I wanted to kind of get through before we got to Hangman Page. I think I'm just going to burn through this first one really fast, and I'll talk about a situation that happened at Lucha Vavoom. Lindsay and Sean, they were at the Chicago Global Wars show, and they just turned vegan, so they had all this protein they wanted to give to Jay Lethal, and Jay Lethal was like, I'm on a plane, I can't take that much, and Jay was like, hey, Colt, you want this? And they were like, yeah, Colt, do you want this? And I was like, yes, I do. And I could kind of go into detail, but I won't. The idea that I just wrestled this wonderful match that I was so proud of and so happy to do, this comedy match, this exciting match with this New Japan talent. And like, I couldn't tell you how happy I was to gain this 3 bags worth of protein bars and protein pancakes and muffins. Like, that was the most exciting, not even the most exciting part of the night, like probably the most exciting point of the year for me was were these free gifts. I know, you don't judge. I loved doing the wrestling match. I love wrestling, but what a surprise. That was so, I am who I am. I know that. I'm no Popeye, but I get it, all right? The other one, not a sad story, but something that kind of upset me that happened at the Lucha Vavoom show in Riverside, California. And as much as I am progressive, I don't know if that's the right word, but I understand that there's wrestling is evolving. We're opening doors. We're not as, I guess, old school as you would say. And I'm all for that. I have this podcast where the formula of professional wrestling isn't really broken down, but we do open doors and we talk about our lives. In saying that, I do believe in some of the old school mentalities of wrestling. And one of those is the locker room. I believe there shouldn't be any fans in the locker room. I feel kind of bad, but I've kicked out, Kalisto's wife once, and I kicked out Mark Briscoe's wife once, and I've kicked out some, you know, quote unquote journalists or reporters or whatever it might be. And you can hang out in the backstage portion if you want, but there's always something sacred to the locker room. And this isn't a men woman thing. This is, if you're not wrestling on the show, I'm getting dressed, I'm getting changed, I'm doing my business. We don't need extra people in there. Get out. Get out of the locker room. You know, that's something I still hold. Not a lot of people hold to it as times are changing, but I still hold on to it. And I bring up this idea of old school mentality because something really, like, not shitty, but something happened at the Lucha Vavoom show this weekend. And a girl who's a burlesque dancer, who's not a wrestler, was doing something in our match. And one of the wrestlers just kind of hucked her down. Now, the two previous nights, she'd been doing it with somebody else, and the wrestler gently put her down, which is exactly how it should be. She wanted to get in there. The promoters wanted her to do this thing. She's trusting us with our lives. And then the third night, it was a different wrestler, and he just kind of threw her down, and she went to the back, and she had ice on her neck and her head, and she was definitely thrown for a loop. And I took that on myself as, like, I felt responsible that I don't know, like, I almost, you know, assured her that everything would be okay, and it wasn't. And then one of these referees, he's an old school referee, he's got to be in his 60s or 70s, and he's like, she wants to get in the ring, that's what happens. And, like, he kept on saying that to me, and, like, I didn't agree with him, but I feel, and that's the weirdness of this veteranness in the world of wrestling, is that I didn't feel, I should have fought, I think, a little more and been like, no, absolutely not. No, that's just not how it works anymore, and you shouldn't feel that way. But there's still that mentality of like, hey, brother, that's how it works. You want to get in, you got to be tough like us. That's all part of it. And it wasn't part of it. She was a burlesque dancer. We invited her into the show. We tell people it's a show. She's not out there shooting on people. And it made me sad. And there's people with these old school mentalities, and they talk about how it was, and that's how it should be. This was just a perfect example in my head of we have to grow and move on and not pretend we're all tough guys, because we're not. But I will still kick you out of my locker room. I hope that's okay. And apparently the girl is fine. And hopefully you'll be fine too after you listen to the song of the week. And the song of the week is actually brought to you by Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling. It's a podcast. We're doing a plug trade. They're putting out a special children's wrestling fan episode this coming week. And I have a children's book coming out, so it kind of makes sense. If you love that mix of comedy and wrestling, Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling is a great addition to your podcast lineup. People have said that it's kind of like Comedy Bang Bang if Comedy Bang Bang learned how to work, brother. Go to your favorite podcatcher, subscribe to their podcast, and then become their buddy. Song of the Week was actually suggested by one of my buddies, past guest Mike Hughes. This song was a live performance by the Fiddler's Sons. Now, the song's called Bobby Fought the Bear. It's about bear wrestling in Canada, which I actually did a story on for Pro Wrestling Fringe with Dan Lavransky in Season 3. You can check out that episode, StitcherPremium.com/Colt. But now, just hear the song version of it. Enjoy it. We'll be back with Hangman Page.
There was a poster on the light pole near Stedman's parking spot. It had the name and all the faces of the most unruly lot. Your Red Atlantic Grand Prix Wrestling coming to a town near you. Next stop, Iceland Arena in the town of Montague. Now the special star attraction was not the Cuban or the Beast. You didn't look like Leo Burt or Leaping Lanny in the least. And the caption read there was a cash reward for any man who dare step into the square circle to face the wrestling bear. Now rumors swirled about the bear on lead up to the day. They say he damn near killed the man at the rink in Cap LA. It was agreed by able men that neither man nor beast could scare, that no man with an ounce of sense would wrestle with the bear. So that night we cheered the wrestlers on from high up in the stands. But when they let the bear out, a hush came o'er the fans. But one man stood up proud and tall, without a fear or care, when Bobby stepped into the ring and said, "I'll fight the bear." The night Bobby fought the bear, boys, every mother's son was there. All that we could do was sit and stare. Some turned their heads in horror, other men whispered a prayer. Back on the night that Bobby fought the bear.
So you said that you didn't used to buy the Red Bulls, but now you do because they cost too much.
Yeah, they were, and I always got like the Monster because I think the Monster's cheaper, you know what I mean?
What do you think that? You think that's all in marketing dollars?
Probably.
Right?
It's got to be.
Like, I've heard that like Coca-Cola costs like 4 cents to make.
It's just a liquid,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, put in a can, it can't be but so much.
It's 4 cents to make, but the advertising costs the other $1.75.
And you know what you're paying for is the convenience store. Like, you'd never go and buy a 2 liter, you know, but you'll pick up a little one from the store. You're paying probably more for that than
you
would
buy
two
a 2 liter of Red Bull. Is that
I
a
should
thing?
It probably costs less than this little guy, but
that
it
would give you
it's not convenient. I'm paying for the convenience.
But and you've got the money now.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, just throwing it out left and right.
Sure, why not?
Whatever.
Hey, nice to have you on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining me, taking that Red Bull down.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So I was watching that Invasion thing that you guys did.
Right.
And here's the one thing that stood out to me, and I think it stood out to me because I'd like to think that I know you, is when you started saying, like, F this person and F that person, I was like, I don't think that's... Was that like hard for you to do, or like, are you in the moment just sucked up by that?
No, you know what? Because it was fun and it was all in jest. You know what I mean? Like, it takes a lot, I think, for me as a real person to get that angry about a real thing. But like, this is
also
part comedy.
Yes,
you know
but
I mean?
I don't see you. You're not a rocking the boat type of person. Am I incorrect? Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think you're incorrect. But when I'm with a group of boat rockers, you know what I mean? And like, I realize that it's cool, it's good, it works.
Yeah.
I'll rock the boat
too. You're jumping in.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Is like outside of the wrestling scope, is that... Like when you were young and people were hitting mailboxes. Were you hitting mailboxes?
Oh my God, no. I was the one in the next morning like fixing the neighbor's mailbox. Like that was me, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
But like, you know what I mean? It was fun. It was, you know, it was what's working and hell, like, it's fine. We need that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. I was like, oh, that's, I don't know how characteristic of the hangman that is.
Right. Me as a human being, maybe not. Yeah. You know what I mean? But
you just get wrapped up.
Yeah, just go with it, man. It's fun.
Ah, that's amazing, man. And you're just like, you're married?
Married, yeah.
Good kids?
No kids.
Yeah?
No
kids. How long have you been married?
Just a year. We celebrated our anniversary about a month ago.
And I picture you're the type of guy you guys met in high school.
Yep.
Yeah, I nailed that one.
There you go. Yeah, yep. Ninth grade.
Yeah.
So I was almost middle school.
I was almost going to say junior high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Love your life.
High school sweetheart. Really didn't really date until college. You know what I mean? I had just graduated college, and she was kind of just starting.
She was in ninth grade.
You know what I mean? Right. Yeah, she was still in ninth grade. She was starting, you know what I mean? So we dated like the whole time through college and everything. As soon as she graduated and got a job, you know what I mean? I was like, all right, let's get married now.
Wait, so she's a bunch younger than you?
No, she's just a year younger. But she stayed in school a lot longer than I did.
Yeah. What did you go to college for?
I went to Virginia Tech. I got a bachelor's in communication.
What was it, Virginia Tech? There was some bad stuff there.
Oh, which one was shooting. That? The shooting.
Were you there for that?
I wasn't there for that. I was probably in 10th grade, still in high school then, so that was a few years after or before I went there.
And then when you go there, are your parents like, I don't know about Virginia
no,
Tech?
No, because that's where my dad went to school. And my family was huge, like, Virginia Tech football fans. And, like, I never really even cared that much about sports, but, like, that's what I grew up knowing was Virginia Tech, and, like, that's where I was supposed to go to school.
Mm.
It didn't matter, like, what I wanted to do. It wasn't like my parents told me I had to do this. It was just kind of, like, what was ingrained into me.
You
like,
didn't
this
say,
is what you do next.
I'm not you, Dad.
No, I didn't say that. I don't think I've started to say that until now. Right.
What was that in Varsity Blues? What did he say? What was the speech?
Oh, God, I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Or James Vanderbeek? I am not your father. Okay, I can see that happen because it's so South. You're nailing it.
Right. Yeah.
So you're a Virginia Tech baby. You had the clothes. You had the shirts.
100%. All through my life. So that's where I knew I was going to school. I didn't know for what. I didn't figure that out until I was in high school.
You have to be smart to get into Virginia Tech?
I don't think so. No. Like, I had good grades. I was, okay. You know, not like I was pretty smart. And you know, I don't think it was really that I was smart as much as like. I just did my work, and that was pretty much the standard in high school. Like, if you just showed up and did what they asked of you, like, you were fine.
Well, not for all of us.
For me, that's how it felt. So I did that. I think I graduated maybe fourth in my class of, like, 500.
God
so
damn.
I was pretty smart, you know what I mean? So, like, I went to Virginia Tech, but I was...
On a scholarship? If you were fourth in your class?
No, not at all.
An academic scholarship?
No, nothing.
Fourth in your class?
Fourth in my class.
That's pretty good.
Right.
I think out of... 350, I was 302. Like,
well, I went for a degree in communication, so I don't know if there's even scholarships for that.
They usually throw people money when they're smart. I assume that's how the world works.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it is, and I was just too naive to know, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't apply myself, I feel like, through high school. Like, I was
the fourth best.
It came natural to me, you know what I mean? I never really felt like I had to fight for that. It just
one of these
natural.
People that didn't study on the test and they just went and like knew it?
I might study like on the bus on the way to school in the morning. Man. But like, you know what I mean? Like that was it for me.
All
and
right.
it came easy. So I wasn't prepared for college when it's just...
I thought college was easier, at least those first years.
The classes maybe were easier, but like... My emphasis was in film, so the classwork wasn't really the main part. The main part was getting out and making connections and doing the rest, and I just didn't care about making movies, you know what I mean? Like, I realized that after my first year there. I was like, I don't want to go to L.A.
And now
like,
that you're in wrestling school.
Right, yeah.
In this world of wrestling.
Right. So, my high school had...
Well, hold on. So, Virginia Tech, they were like, you're all going to be moving to L.A. and being filmmakers?
Well... You know, I got into this thing when I was in high school where me and my buddy, we made these two like feature length films, like
really?
An hour and a half.
Must be awful.
They're to me, they're still kind of funny. You know what I mean? Because it's just like all my family members and friends and them doing stupid stuff. And there's a plot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's good.
Are these on YouTube?
They were for a while as private, but like all the songs were like, you know, copyrighted songs.
Sure.
So it's like taken down now, I guess. But we did that, so I just decided, like, okay, I'm going to go to school to make movies. But I wasn't thinking, like, what kind of job I'm going to get. I just thought, like, I just want to edit videos. Mm. You know what I mean? That's what I want to do. And once I got there, I realized the program was to teach you how to, you know, either write or direct or, you know, do lighting or whatever for films. You know, and I realized, like, after my first year, that's what it was. And I was like, fuck, I don't want to do that.
I don't want your life. Right. That's the quote.
That was it. The quote. That was the moment for me. Yeah. And I realized I didn't want to do that, but I had just 1 year left. I did the bachelor's in 2 years, so I just stuck with it and finished that.
You did Virginia Tech in 2 years?
Yes.
And got an education?
Right.
How did that work?
So my high school had one of the biggest dual enrollment programs. So I took essentially...
You got college credit in high school.
Right, yes. So I technically transferred into Virginia Tech at, you know, 17 or 18 as a junior.
What part of Virginia are you from?
I'm from, like, near South Boston. It's right near the North Carolina border, kind of, like, in the middle, I guess.
Okay. And, like, listen, like, when we stereotypically think of the South and Virginia, at least me as a Chicago city right. boy, right? I'm thinking, like... I don't know, but you sound like you were in like the nicer part of Virginia.
You know,
in my head,
maybe not. I would have argued with you on that a few years ago and been like, yes, totally. Like, we're not what you think. But now that I've gotten away from it a little bit, no, you're probably about right. I just think I came from a good family. I had a good upbringing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That not everybody in that area has.
What's the family? You got any siblings or anything?
Really, really tight-knit family. So my mom and dad are like still together. We grew up with them, you know, just very nuclear family. Me and my sister, she's 2 years younger. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday, we'd go to church. We'd leave church, go back home, change into blue jeans, go to my grandma's house, which was a quarter mile down the road, and have lunch and stay there all afternoon. That was the routine every week. So it was a very like stable upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great.
And then, so when you get in wrestling, and like that was something for me, is because I had I was going to say all of our families are kind of fucked up. And sometimes when I vent to my friend of like how, like, oh, my family's kind of weird. And he's like, every family is weird. But mm-hmm. like, in the grand scheme of things, there, you know, I had a brother. We were all loved.
Right.
Yeah. But then you get into wrestling and you just see like all, and I don't want to say degenerates, but from like a nicer part of the world that I was in going into wrestling, I don't know if it was a wake up call. But I didn't know I would see that stuff in real life almost. Maybe a little. I was a little sheltered.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were also sheltered, if you felt that.
I think so, too, because I took my upbringing for granted, you know, until I got out into the real world and started to see what most people, how they were raised, you know, their lives, which not to knock them. It's just that I was fortunate and didn't know
it.
But
the real, we don't, as wrestlers, we don't see the real world until we get into wrestling and start traveling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, what is the real world? Like, some people... Like, I'm in college or in Chicago, they'll go into like the yuppie part of town, and like then they're like in the yuppie like Wrigleyville, and they're around all these frat boys. Like, that's not the real world,
right,
you know?
Yeah,
like,
no.
I feel that you can get sheltered a long time.
Yeah, a very long time.
And I don't know if it would have been accessible to me if it hadn't been wrestling. I don't know like what kind of. I feel I would have stayed in this bubble of people that were just all like me almost.
Right, yeah, and I think the same thing too, because most of the people, even on our roster, you know what I mean, come from like varying lifestyles, mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's strange, and that's been my exposure to the real world.
Yeah, okay.
People from every walk of life.
Yeah. And then anyone like wrestling in the fam?
I guess like all my family did, back like... Mid-Atlantic days, you know what I mean? That's what they watch. That's what they grew up on. And then after that, they didn't really watch it anymore. But that's what they talk about all the time.
But so they're but like when you become obsessed with wrestling, which I assume you did or are.
Right.
Right? Or at least, you know, that's how we mold in. I feel that's how us weirdos get in. The ones that aren't like 6'9 from Division I football.
Right. We just fall in love with it on TV.
Right. And we get to this point of our career because... we've followed our love,
right?
It's just you finding it and them guiding you into it, or do they take you to wrestling? Or?
They didn't really. I mean, they were supportive, but I got into it when I was maybe like 9 or 10 on TV, and this is like WCW, like WCW, ECW Invasion. I didn't even know what they were. I just knew they were invading. I think that was about the time I got into watching it,
because like for me, I knew exactly what was going on.
Right? Yeah.
It's so weird to think the idea. And there's also, you know, it's weird. Not only that, and I just say it because it's like, there's people now being like, oh, I just started listening. Like, I've been doing this podcast since 2010, and they're like, They just started getting to wrestling in 2015.
Yeah.
You know?
Crazy.
And they're like, you do a podcast? Or, I just started watching some of your old Ring of Honors or whatever. I was like, holy fuck.
Right, yeah.
So when that was in the nucleus of like my watching, getting started.
That's when I was getting started. Yeah.
And you were young.
I was 9, 10, whatever. And I was like the kind of kid who, as soon as I got into something, like I had to do it. You know what I mean? Like I wanted to be a magician when I was a little kid. So my parents made me like a little magic set, and I was trying to like practice to be a magician. And I wanted to be a clown.
Tell me the links of like, did you go to magic camp or a clown camp?
I don't think. Well, there was no magic camp in South Boston. So
don't say there was no magic camp. Maybe not in South Boston.
Well, yeah,
but there are magic camps.
Yeah, I'm sure there was some somewhere.
And there's documentaries on Netflix that I've watched about it.
If I go back and look at the pictures of my Christmas. When I was a kid, every Christmas had like a different theme. Like one year it was like clown theme, so I got like clown wigs and makeup and like little suits, and you know, like I was gonna be a clown, you know what I mean? And then the next year or two later it might have been like magic, and I had like a little stage to like do magic
I'm
shows
pitching
on the
dirt
house.
Biking also, is that a thing?
That wasn't four-wheelers were
okay,
but that was never really like it was just
in.
Something I did, okay. You know what I mean? That was a mode of transportation. Right,
those little small ones that
No, like, you know, just a four-wheeler. Like a four-wheeler, you know.
Well, we didn't have those where I came from.
Oh, I mean, this was kind of like...
It's like just an everyday thing.
I guess
thing.
It was like a farm thing, you know what I mean? Like, you just had them, and that's just how you got from, like, my house to my grandparents' house.
Really?
Before I could drive, yeah.
On a four-wheeler?
You just drive, like, you know, down, like, through these paths in the woods, and you'd go wherever.
Okay.
I don't know.
So one Christmas was Ruthless Aggression figures.
Yes. the real wrestling Christmas was... I can remember this really vividly. I got shipped away like maybe the day, maybe it was Christmas Eve. My parents sent me and my sister with some of our other family to go to some Christmas Eve thing. And we didn't get home until late that night. So they worked all Christmas Eve day and night until we got home on building a wrestling ring in the backyard.
Wow.
So it was a trampoline. I was still young, you know what I mean? Like, they weren't going to build me a real wrestling ring. But they had a trampoline, and they built a wooden, like, square frame around it. They put ropes, you know, around it, whatever. Like, I ended up, like, putting old trampoline springs on those, so they bounced and everything. Mm. So I had this ring built in the backyard, and that was a wrestling Christmas.
Jealous people right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Just thinking back to their childhood and saying... If only,
right?
Myself included, and I think of my friend Marty DeRosa. He would also be like, "Oh, that sounded exactly everything I wanted in my life. If only my parents were like that."
Right?
It's amazing. What'd your sister get?
I don't know. I feel like she was a little more normal. You know what I mean?
I'm saying they spent all day on you, and they shipped both of you away.
I'm sure whatever she got was exactly like what she wanted. It just didn't require like I wanted a wrestling ring, and they just couldn't go like buy it. You know what I mean?
She wanted a diary.
She wanted something normal. You know, a TV or whatever. I don't know.
Was anybody else in your family into weird stuff the way that you got into wrestling? And magic and clowning?
You know, if they were, then they adopted a normal life, you know what I mean, instead of pursuing that thing. So, you know, I don't know. But as far as I know, no, they're just... You know,
and any of your family like into the are they doing stuff in the arts or stuff in performance or anything?
Not at all. Almost the opposite. They're very shy, quiet.
I've said this on a lot here though, that like I don't like if I knew if you told me like, oh, you're gonna be a performance artist when you're like older, right. I'd be like, nope. But like I was like, I'm definitely gonna be a wrestler.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if you told me like at least me in high school, like, oh, go do theater because you're basically gonna be a theater guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, no, I'm a jock kid, you know?
Right.
And here we are.
You don't make that connection, I guess, when you're younger. No,
not at all.
You just want to wrestle. That's all. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
So so then did it take over, like, everything then, like high school? Like,
For sure. We probably got that ring when I was maybe, like, seventh grade.
Oh, did you start a backyard league?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we had one, and we just had a trampoline. But we'd busted almost all the springs out of it, so we were almost hitting the ground and stuff. So this is when my parents then built that ring.
Yeah, but then your parents have to know that they're taking on a whole promotion, basically. Like, every kid's now going to come over to your house.
Well, we'll see. It was just such a small town that it was just me and one other friend. And then maybe there'd be, like, a couple friends from school who every night, like, we might have one other friend, so it'd be three of us or something like that. But really, we'd run a show with maybe three matches. It'd be me and my buddy Adam, and we'd wrestle, and then we'd go back in the house, change, put on a mask, come back out as different characters, wrestle again.
Who was your best character?
Maybe Kid Kryptonite. He was a little like a superhero, a little hurricane kind of knockoff.
Yeah, yeah. Very nice. So when do you realize that you... Well, so you went to college and you graduated. Did you wrestle while you were in Virginia Tech?
Yeah, yeah. I started wrestling in like 11th grade in high school. Wow. So I kept doing that throughout college.
Hey, you're doing wrestling. You're doing college classes. Right. While...
trying to make like little student films. And
oh, you're a filmmaker. You're right. Making hour, not student films, hour and a half long feature films.
In high school, yeah. But once I got to college, it was just like do whatever, you know.
But I'm saying
required.
In these years, 11th grade,
oh, yeah,
there's
yeah.
a lot on your plate there.
Yeah, right. Well, I kind of, we did those backyard shows until I got into high school, I think. And then I started to kind of think like, okay, wrestling, like I'm not going to do wrestling. It's crazy. And then we started making these movies. Me and the same guy, Adam, who's my best friend, started making these movies. And then I guess at some point I just kind of got back into wrestling mm-hmm. and then kept going.
Well, I always like to hear like the how someone finds who they're going to get trained by or where they're going to get trained by.
Right.
Because, right, especially if you're in high school,
mm-hmm.
I remember showing my age, right, 94 to 98. So, like, I remember there was, like, the internet wasn't really ish, but there was, like, a newspaper, and there was, like, for some reason, like, we'd get, like, the Waukegan local newspaper, and there sometimes there'd be, like, hey, local wrestling show, and then there was a hotline, and then I'm calling that hotline and trying to find, like, hopefully, like, information. It's, like, local one.
Right.
Like, oh, maybe they're affiliated with a school or something. But I don't know. I mean, that's how I used to kind of get my – I guess you're of the age where you'd probably – Googled, hey, where do I get trained?
I don't know. I did, and I don't really remember it though. My cousin who I was close with was dating a guy who was like an indie wrestler, and they lived like an hour away.
His
name was Justin Flash. Was his wrestling name? His name is Terry.
Yeah.
And they were dating at the time.
Was it Hulk Hogan?
No, not Hulk Hogan.
Different Terry.
Totally different Terry.
Okay.
But similar.
Yeah.
But different.
Right.
And this was when I was doing the backyard wrestling. So I was like, hey, train me to wrestle. And I'm like 12. So he said, you know, all right, when you get, you know, 16 or 17, I will. And I guess maybe he was just trying to blow me off. You know what, like they're in high school or maybe just out of high school dating. So I'm sure he didn't think much about it. But
also, you were 12 years old.
Right.
Right.
Right. But like I listened. I was like, okay. In four or five years.
So you had it stuck in your head then.
That's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I did, I guess.
You said you got out of it for a little bit.
Yeah.
If there was somebody when I was 12 who said, when you're 16, like, I'm going to train you, we're good to go.
Right.
I don't think I would ever get out of it.
Well, I think...
I would have that in my head. Like,
I think we got out of doing the backyard shows. Like, I still followed wrestling, still was a wrestling fan, but we just stopped doing the backyard shows maybe when I got into high school. And that's when we started like making those movies.
Mm.
And then my cousin and this guy Terry, they got married when I might have been in high school, or maybe they're still dating. I'm not sure.
So you're kind of like a second generation wrestler,
essentially. Essentially, once yeah.
Removed.
Yeah.
just a generation in law,
right?
Okay, so did Terry train you?
Right. Yeah. So I was I guess 15 or 16, and like he was like, all right, fine. So I started like traveling with them, and we got to be good buddies. And his friend Casey, was the three of us, me, Terry, and Casey, and we.
What happened to Adam?
He might have came and trained a time or two, but I think he very quickly decided like he didn't want to do this.
That's a real. It's so weird, and I can't speak for you, but I'll speak for me of just like how right away I was like, yeah, like this is. Like, mm-hmm. when you start jumping in those cars and going town to town. But, like, I get, like, ooh.
Right.
This could be, well, holy shit, I got to do this every week for the rest of my life.
And I think with my friend Adam, he's 3 years older than me. So he was he was graduating high school, or he was out of high school. And he was raised by his grandparents. He had a lot different life than I did.
Mm.
He had a lot more on his plate than I did, you know what I mean? And I could just go around and do these shows every weekend, riding with my buddies or whatever, but like he couldn't do that. He had to get a job. He had to provide he's living with his grandparents who were getting older, and his grandfather was a preacher, and he was in bad health too. So he had a lot more going on than I did. And I think that's maybe why he decided.
Would you go with your cousin also?
Oh yeah, yeah. It would be all of us together, big group.
She had to like wrestling, kind of.
She liked it. She really did. She liked it. You know, it wasn't like she was getting dragged along. She liked it just as much as the rest of us, I think. She just didn't want to do it.
And she didn't. Would she sell the raffle tickets or anything?
No, not really. She was pretty quiet and just kind of sit back and watched everything. But she loved it.
There's nothing I like more than family and friends helping at the indie shows.
I love it. I miss it.
And I feel it happens more in the South
mm-hmm.
You know, like when I would go to those Yves and Rotten shows and do the, in Louisville and Clarksville, Indiana, like more in the South, it's just like they seem to, they almost get off on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how, like, you know, regulated it is in other states, but like North Carolina, it's the Wild West.
Yeah.
So there's shows every 5 minutes, you know what I mean? So it's.
Well, I don't think it's regulated to see who can sell raffle tickets.
Well, yeah, you. Yeah, right.
or concessions or make the trip down to Sam's Club and grab a fucking 12-pack of Shasta for $1 each.
So that's what I came up on was those little shows. Like
of course,
that.
Well, of course.
Yeah, everybody,
so did you go, like, would he train you at shows? Are you one of those guys?
So this was our training. We would get there when we could find out the ring was going to be there. That's when we'd get there. We'd help set it up. And we'd train in the ring before the show started.
Did you pay him any money?
No. And the training was your family. Right, yeah. We were just like
can't
friends.
Charge family.
You know what I mean? So he didn't charge me money. And the training was like, okay, try to run the ropes. Okay, you seem to have the mechanics of that. Try a Canadian destroyer. Okay, you seem to have that. That was it. You know what
oh,
I mean?
No.
Yeah, it was that. But I didn't know any different. I was 15 or 16.
Hold on. How fast into your after those trainings did you do a match? Like
probably,
your second training?
No, it might have been like 6 or 8 months of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It went on a while.
So what would you do? So you'd go to 6 of 8 months worth of shows and not be doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You'd just be there, obviously beforehand.
Right. Yeah.
So
just
what are you
trying stuff?
So when you're there, what are you doing? Are you making friends with these people?
Yeah.
Are you selling popcorn?
You know, I don't think so. I was probably filming matches for him. You know what I mean? Things like maybe taking pictures. I don't know. I don't know.
You tell me.
I don't know. I don't remember. I just remember getting to the shows early and doing all that
this
stuff.
To me, this is I have done some crazy things with some very like important people.
Right.
And in the last 10 years, to which I don't remember, but every like the details of those first I'd say year of shows,
yeah.
I have down to a T. Because they're so, like, important, I feel.
That's true.
You know, at least in my... I mean, that's the way my head, like, nostalgia-wise, recognizes it.
Right.
Is that those first shows and those first places, and you remember those... Have you gone back and wrestled, like, at one of those places?
Not in a long time. It's been a long time, I think.
I mean, like, you know, in Milwaukee, there was the Knights of Columbus in West Dallas, Wisconsin. It was one of my... You know, I remember... I think it was January 6th or something, 2000. It was one of my, I don't know, first matches. Not first match. You know, I was wrestling since spring of 99. But then I went back and 18 years later wrestled for Frankie DeFalco there, you know? And I'm just
yeah.
like, whoa.
It's weird, man.
And for me, it's just like, these are the memories.
Yeah.
You know, I went more whoa than I did, you know, at like a big Ring of Honor show or even a WWE, like arena.
I think I'd be the same way. You know, I don't remember what I was doing during these shows. I was probably just sitting there watching them. But right. I remember very vividly everything that happened before the show. All the training stuff we were trying and stupid stuff. You know what I mean?
And then he says finally, like, hey, tonight's your big match.
Right, yeah. I wrestled him in a mask. And that was the first match.
And what was your name?
My name was Adam Page. That was it. My best
Under
friend.
A mask?
No, he was under a mask.
Oh, he was under a mask.
By the name of Ricochet.
Of course it was.
Yes. I was Adam Page. I took my best friend Adam's first name and Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. I was a big Led Zeppelin fan.
I thought it was all the yoga that you did.
Right, yeah. Just splice those together. That was me. Yeah, that was the first match.
And what? And were you nervous?
Yeah, I think so. If I go back and watch it, I'd probably realize I was a lot more nervous than I remember being.
Oh, I couldn't watch my first match, I don't think.
Oh, yeah.
Do you
want to
go back and watch stuff?
No, never.
Yeah.
I can't.
Do you watch your stuff back now?
Rarely. I might just to see how something went, but I know I find myself when I do watch stuff back, I make these faces like as I'm watching, like, ugh,
yeah.
Ugh. And I don't know why I'm making them. I don't know what I'm feeling. I know I don't like it though.
Mm.
Something about it.
I understand
like.
That. I do that too. I don't know. I felt in the last, and I don't know if this is like if that's when a sign of like not being as good of a wrestler is I don't. I used to race to watch my stuff back.
Oh yeah, yeah, me too.
You know, and now I feel like I don't as much. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know.
Psychologically, I'd like to know what that means.
Yeah, the same way.
If there's
I'm
any
not
doctors
sure why.
Out there, keep us up. There.
Right.
And that was where? Where were those shows at?
Oh, these were Wentworth, North Carolina. And
who were the legend like veterans that were like around?
You know, some of those first shows, not many of them. Maybe a little bit later, Jimmy Valiant was one of the guys who'd be on some of these shows and still is.
Yeah, but when I say legend, I don't mean actual legends.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the legends of these buildings?
Just and this isn't meant to be like disrespectful.
Yes.
But those guys who are like, you're 16 and these guys are 35 and they've been wrestling in that area forever.
Right.
And you're almost in awe of them.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But now you take yourself out of it and you're like, oh, they were just dudes who were wrestling.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, those were the Jimmy Loves of you know, the Danville area, Virginia, yeah. North Carolina. Those were, I mean, there were tons of them. I can remember this one guy. Was his last name was something Steel. Huge dude, just jacked up. I just remember thinking.
Was it Colt Steel?
It wasn't Colt Steel. Yeah, it was.
And Steel from down south, too.
Yeah. No, okay. I can't remember his first name, but I just remember thinking he was the coolest thing ever. And you know what I mean? But yeah, like legends of those buildings.
Iron Mike Sampson. Holy fuck. He was I used to watch him on Windy City Wrestling. We had a TV show in Chicago.
Right.
And I did some shows with him, and I'm just like, you're this kid. And he's a grown man. I think he was a firefighter in Chicago, too. So it's like almost like extra.
Right.
And he was just the dude. You know, at the end of the day.
He's a guy.
And in my head, he was famous also.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Right.
I don't know if you felt bad about some of these guys.
No, for sure. Because I would go to these shows for a couple of years before I started training, watching all these guys. Then when I started training, I was training, but I wasn't wrestling. So there were years and years of me watching these same guys who just, in my mind at this point, 16, they're just legends.
And I assume they're getting like recognized in the streets. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, yeah. I think so, too.
Which also, I don't know if you've gotten this, too, and maybe from your like civilian friends, but like people, and it's weird because I do kind of get recognized, I don't know, once a month or something,
right.
You know, something like that. But they're just, I constantly get like, oh, do people like, can you walk down the streets? It's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, that's not, I don't know if you, do your like weird friends like say that? I don't know if that's a thing or yet.
No, yeah, I think so, yeah. You know what I mean? Like I'll go to the gym and stuff. And it's weird, like when you're at these shows all weekend and just everywhere you turn and go, like are wrestling fans, and then you go back home and it's normal. Mm-hmm. It's nice. You know, it's surprising though. It's nice.
I've walked around with guys in the WWE and nobody recognizes them.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know what everyone's like. I think it is just because we're in this bubble of wrestling.
I think so too, yeah.
But I feel a wrestling fan should know that, like, that's not a reality.
Right.
And I think it's really the only people are just like A-list celebrities.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Who are getting stopped.
Right.
And the Bullet Club.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, it does happen.
That's just,
it does happen.
A-list celebrities and the Bullet Club and maybe random wrestling reference.
Right.
Maybe Tugboat Thomas. I don't know. All right. So when you start doing he's teaching you how to run ropes, he's teaching you how to do Canadian Destroyer.
Right.
At any point do you like realize, does that click in that like, oh, maybe I should have learned the basics of wrestling?
Or? It was long after I'd actually started wrestling.
Well, of course, yeah.
Right. You know, I probably did, and maybe when I was getting into college, I realized like, shoot, like I should probably be able to say I have a, you know, reputable trainer of some sort, you know what I mean? Have some kind of education in this, say I really got trained somewhere. That's when, like, my first year in college, I started going to Jimmy Valiant's camp, which was 20 or 30 minutes from Virginia Tech.
I didn't know that. So that weird, like, that weird rock place, like,
yes,
right? It's got,
yes.
Is there a rock or rocks?
It's up like on a, it's
on a
almost
hill.
A mountain,
yeah,
up on a huge hill,
yeah,
big cinder block building.
Tell people about, because I've seen some like weird documentaries, and it's like anyone can come in for $5, and you're gonna tell me everything, he's like, it's really positive, and we just everybody sits around and we cheer the wrestlers, and it almost seems like open gym or like at a basketball game or something.
It was the first time I showed up though was on an assignment for school because we had to make a little documentary, and maybe one of these ones is I made it.
Oh, maybe I've seen
right.
yours.
If you look up on YouTube Jimmy Valiant, like one of the first things that pops up is the little film I made when like first year of college.
I might have been, yeah.
So I showed up to his school and I was making this little 5-10 minute documentary, but I was also kind of like, all right, you run the camera and I'm gonna go train a little bit, you know, kind of like back and forth thing.
And so did you start going there a good amount?
Honestly, I probably went there 5 or 6 times.
Do you count Jimmy Valiant as your trainer?
I did for a while because I thought I needed to.
To say that.
Right, yeah. I thought I needed to be able to say, like, yes, I was trained by Jimmy Valiant.
Yeah.
But by the time I was there, I don't know what he did before I was there and in the years leading up to that, but by the time I was visiting, he was very hands-off. Mm. It was right by his house. It was his property, his school. But the people that he had trained 10 or 15 or 20 years ago were running, you know, most of the stuff.
And not, yeah, that's kind of what I heard. But I think that's like an ongoing thing because you hear that about Dory Funk's place, too.
Right.
That he just gets, you know, Adam Windsor or whatever that guy. Was that his name? There's like one guy who was like always Dory Funk's guy.
Right.
I forgot what his name was. I think it was Adam Windsor, but I think Adam Windsor is somebody else. Anyways, and then these guys just, and then they think like they're legends in wrestling, but right. they really haven't gone anywhere outside of, and I don't know if that's because these guys run the scam where they keep them inside that bubble or.
I'm not sure, you know, and I know once I started like going to his camp, I kind of figured it out real quick because the guys who were there running the training were guys that I was working with every weekend anyway, you know what I mean? They were like my, they were my peers. They mm-hmm. weren't like my superiors of any sort in right. wrestling. So I kind of figured it out real quick.
Well, what'd you figure out?
That, you know, it was beneficial, I guess, but it wasn't like, you know, I was getting something super extra that I didn't already have.
That
I was
you
working with people
there.
I was normally working with anyway.
Right. And was Jimmy, does he know your name? Would he know who you are today?
100%. Yeah, I love him. Yeah,
oh, okay.
He's awesome. Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know if it was more me coming to the school and training a little bit or making that little documentary because I think he really liked that. But yeah, totally recognizes me. He's an awesome guy. I love him. You know yeah. what I mean? But he's very hands-off on the training.
Right.
He was in the corner selling the Hot Pockets. That was his...
To the
his
students.
Team. Right, yes.
Or did you do a show? They had the Sunday shows, right? This might have been
yes,
yours that I saw.
I think the Sunday training, but they might run shows Sundays too. I don't know.
Did you do a show there or no?
I never did do a show there.
So no. He's selling Hot Pockets to the students.
Yes.
He's
yes.
trying to make...
It's almost, yeah, an open gym type of training type situation.
I mean, know that he'll never hear any of this. Is he like full... On carny, is it 100% carny, or is there some heart to...
It's 110% carny.
110% carny.
Yes, 100%. Selling sodas and Hot Pockets. He's got a little microwave in there, I think. You heat up the Hot Pocket.
Is there a little desire for him to like want people to learn how to wrestle?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really feel like he took to me somewhat when I came there because he recognized that I kind of already knew something when I
right.
came, and I guess he was used to... You know, we're talking like in the sticks in the middle of nowhere in Virginia.
Yeah.
He was used to all walks of life coming to his school.
That's in my head.
Know?
In my head, it's the first like month there. These people are really giddy and like want to give back.
Right.
And then they realize who's coming in and then they realize it's just a business.
Right.
And then they go from like passionate trainer to like, oh, well, I guess I can make some money selling Hot Pockets to these students.
It's just see what he does. Yeah.
Right.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that's so. So when does it all start coming together for you?
You know, I guess...
Well, we were on that show in L.A.
Okay.
Is that the first time that we met?
Is this... When was this?
This was the one Nigel
later?
Was... you were in that tournament,
like
were you
the
not?
The Wrestling Cares thing?
Yes.
Okay, so I might have... I don't know if I had signed with Ring of Honor, but maybe I just started like doing dark matches and stuff there about
right.
that time. Yeah, that's when I guess things started to really click for me, I guess. Started
well,
to
you
pick
tell
up
me.
Steam.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, in order to be a guy... That's at Wrestle Cares.
Right.
That's at a thing with like a lot of hotter prospects
right.
in wrestling, flown out to LA.
Mm-hmm.
Your work has to get to a point to where you can get to that point.
Right.
So you obviously started becoming one of the better wrestlers on the scene.
So I
in
think,
your local scene.
I think what really helped me was this is about the time Ring of Honor started those camps. I went to one. And they liked me more than I thought they would. You know, I was like 18. You know, I was a buck 80 maybe.
Mm.
And so they gave me some pointers, whatever. I came back the next year. I obviously improved on what they told me to do. So they liked me. Then they started booking me. And I might have had, you know, a little few TV matches here and there before I was signed or anything. But I guess Les Thatcher might have been the one who kind of hooked that up for me. He liked me. He took a liking to me. I went and did like a little seminar with him. And I think he... More than anybody, kind of got me there, from what I remember.
Did you like find yourself improving and being one of the better guys on the shows in the Carolina, Virginia area?
Yeah, it was getting up. Yeah, about that time that
and
I was.
Were you main eventing these cards?
Yeah, or? Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
You know,
did
I was,
you know that you were doing this, or are you a guy that's just like going to each show and just like, oh, whatever?
Oh no, I knew. I think you know my first year of college or so. I was kind of realizing, like, I might could make something out of this instead of just doing it for fun. So I was really putting effort into trying to get those places, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And who are you wrestling with? Who are the guys? Because usually you're partnering up with, having good matches with people, right?
Right, yeah. I started, the biggest thing for me was when Tashawn started doing the PWX stuff down in Charlotte, and I was working for him, and he was bringing in Ring of Honor guys. He was bringing, like, Eddie Edwards and Roddy and... you and whoever else. I don't think we ever did anything, but I know I had some matches.
No, I had a humdinger with Joey Ryan at PWX.
Right?
Yes, I'm very... And I remember Matt Stryker had a weird match.
Yes, I wrestled Matt Stryker there one time, too.
Yeah, that was like right when he came from TV, and like he didn't know if he wanted to be like a comedian or a shooter or like a 1930s grappler.
Yes, I remember we didn't... I don't think we called really anything.
Yeah.
I don't know what... I'm not sure even what we did. It was a strange situation all around.
So these camps, you're this guy that goes to these camps and you come back and you get better. And, I mean, I guess they don't like, you get handed a contract or like, is that something that you expected? Were you worried about that? I'm still a guy who doesn't want to ever sign any kind of contract or anything.
Honestly, at the time I kind of thought like, you know, almost like my upbringing. I thought, like, this is what you do, and then this is what you do next, and then this is what you do next. That's the mindset I was in then. And for me, that was the next logical thing. Like, okay, I've gotten to Ring of Honor and started doing these dark matches. The next logical thing is for me to sign a contract and work here for a little while. So that's what I was looking for. That's what I was working towards, and that's what...
You had the confidence of, like, okay, I'll get... Like, it'll happen.
Right, yeah, yeah. I thought it would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And somehow it did.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I wanted to do, and I made that very clear when I was there. I was like, this is what I want to do.
So you weren't fearful of it not happening? Or like when you were doing those dark matches and stuff, were you like stressing on... Do you put pressure on yourself? Or do you stress
yourself? Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrified. You know?
Who were those first matches with?
I think my first one might have been with Mike Bennett. It was, you know, a good little TV match, whatever. He gave me way more than... You know, like I thought he would have. You know, it was good. It was a competitive match for me being, you know, just never been on TV before. That was my first TV, and I did some with Silas Young when I first got here, and he was just getting here too.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, yeah, some of the first few.
And then I think, what's the story? They got rid of, Scott Hall's kid got hurt, and they needed a Bullet Club guy, right?
Oh, this is much later. Much, much later.
No, I'm just saying.
Oh yeah.
As we progress,
right?
You're in Ring of Honor. You're working the shows,
right?
Do you become exclusive early on?
No, not at all.
Right.
I was, you know, just like paid per appearance, whatever, for the first 2 or 3 years,
right.
Maybe.
Okay. So working all the PWX shows and all the shows still around,
everywhere, yeah.
And then you get an opportunity to go to Japan.
Yes.
Which is pretty crazy.
Out of nowhere.
Exciting.
Yeah. I know that they wanted to bring Bullet Club to Ring of Honor. You know what I mean? They had their thing in New Japan, but they wanted to start something here. And then they knew they wanted Cole to lead it, and they knew the Bucks were there, but they didn't really know they needed like another person. And I had just kind of got out of the decade thing with BJ. We had just had like a feud or whatever, and I was kind of starting to do nothing. I was kind of going nowhere. It was perfect timing for me. And I don't really know exactly who pitched it, but it stuck.
Yeah, but and that was, I mean, the story I hear was, right, it was Hall, Cody.
Right.
That's when he got hurt, and they wanted a guy who could kind of like be in these multi...
Yeah.
So like an open spot showed up. And I always kind of think like that's how, I tell the story sometimes of just like when Noah used to come around, you know, Noah used to be a big part of Ring of Honor, and I was never like... Take me. Some of the guys were like, take, you know, I was just hanging around doing my job, wrestling, you know, hopefully they'd watch me wrestle and be good.
Right.
And I never went. And then when I came back from WWE, like Marufuji was like, oh, can Cabana wrestle? Can Cabana come over and do Noah? And I was like, holy shit. And they're like, someone called me like, hey, do you want to go tour for Noah? I was like, oh my God, of course.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just about hanging in there and doing it and being there.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things. It's just like.
That's what it was for me. I wasn't, you know, going up there and begging for it or whatever, you know what I mean? I totally didn't expect it then.
If you hang around,
something would happen.
If you do your work,
right.
If you wrestle well.
Right. And a spot opens up and they need somebody, you're there.
Yeah. And now you're part. So explain some of the madness that's happening these days.
Complete madness.
Yeah.
The group chat is madness.
Is that a known thing?
I don't think so. No,
but you guys are all in a group chat
for sure. Yeah, yeah, and it's
and that's where a lot of these ideas are coming up. I'm hearing.
Oh yeah, all the time. It's just a different idea for a bit for BTE or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Complete madness, but it's the most fun I think I've ever had wrestling.
Sure,
absolutely.
And you're just making these. I mean, because of the scenario, and what I've noticed is that like right, you were just this guy like, oh, we should put him in the Bullet Club,
right?
But now you've become. part of the...
Right. I feel like I belong a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I did feel there for that first, you know, 9 months or more that I was in Bullet Club that I was the, just the new guy in the Bullet Club. But then
and I think
when,
the fans are seeing it, too.
I think so, too. Yeah, for sure. Like, once I started getting in these bits for BTE, you know what I mean? Then I started to get better reactions, better people started to care, I think, a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, last night was pretty... You came out to a thunderous ovation.
Right, yeah. Which, you know, when I first joined Bullet Club, I used to always complain backstage about, like, my music. I didn't have my own music. So the Bullet Club music would hit, and then I would come out, and they'd be expecting the Bucks or right, Cole right. or whoever uh-huh. else. So it was always kind of like a, woo, and then a tepid, you know, oh, it's Paige. But it's changed in these past few months, which has been weird. You know what I mean? Now I'm not complaining about it. Oh, cool, whatever.
It's a good feeling, huh?
Right, yeah.
Amazing. Anything else I'm missing out? Anything else?
Oh, man.
We got a hit.
I'm
any
not
weird
sure.
stories? Any weird things that you don't know that I could that I didn't know you could do?
Oh, man. I don't know. On the spot, I'm not good at...
Yeah, I don't know. Right. I just want to make sure as we close this out that you're like, my uncle owns a carnival. I just...
No, you know my great-great uncle or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, we're getting somewhere.
The Virginia is for lovers. That's him. He did that.
Which is the license plate?
It's like the state motto
yes.
or whatever. He did that.
What do you mean?
That was him. That was his advertising campaign.
He was
state.
A lover?
Yes. He was the first in Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the one that came up with that.
It's pretty great.
That's a very, very small claim to a small bit of fame, but that's something.
I think we could turn that into like Hangman is for lovers.
I am.
Right?
I am.
It's known. It's a known
I think,
thing.
I think
that's wonderful.
Can.
Where are you at on the internet, friend?
I am at Twitter at the Adam Page, adampagewrestling.com. I got stuff for sale on there. Check that out. I have an Instagram. I don't even know what the thing is. I hardly ever
You're
use
one
it.
Of those guys? I do not know what your Instagram is.
Because I don't use it much. I probably posted a picture. I don't even think any of the pictures are of me. They're just like random things. Like, oh, that's weird.
Fair enough.
I don't know. If you have the time to find it, God bless you, find it.
Good luck to you. And Pro Wrestling Tees, yeah?
Yes, Pro Wrestling Tees, Adam Page.
Great. Thanks for being on, friend.
God bless you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You are for lovers.
I am for lovers.
True. All right, subscribe to Being the Elite. I didn't even talk about the Pro Wrestling Tees store. We opened a storefront. He was there. He's not on the window. He was a little bit sad. If you're in Chicago, this is the first of its kind. It's a destination that you should be going to. It's open Friday through Monday. There is nothing like this, I don't think. Maybe there is a couple stores like this, but not in a big city in Chicago. Make it part of your Chicago plans to come to the Pro Wrestling Tees storefront where Hangman Page, once again, is not on the front. You'll get there. You'll get there. All right, before we get out of here, let's get into some plugs and...
Upcoming events!
All right, the best way to support ColtMerch.com, DigitalColt.com, Twitter and Instagram, Colt Cabana, Facebook /AOW Podcast, also /ColtCabana. The Storytelling Podcast, Pro Wrestling Fringe, where I did a story about a bear. I did a story about rock and wrestling. There's a story about Tom McGee. Plus, past archives of this show, they're ad-free on StitcherPremium.com/Colt. Use the code Colt, get a free month. ColtWrestling@gmail.com is my very public email. Maybe a promoter want to put me on your upcoming show or convention. Got a YouTube channel. I got a website, ColtCabana.com. I also have a P.O. box. Send me something fun. Upcoming November 11th, 12th, 17th, 18th, and 19th, Fort Lauderdale, Lakeland, Florida, San Antonio, Dallas, Oklahoma City, ROHWrestling.com. I'll be doing commentary. Also, Ian Riccoboni and I are doing $20 autographs and pictures in the ROH commentary booth, with all proceeds going to the people of Puerto Rico. So if you want to donate $20 to Puerto Rico, 100% of proceeds at these shows, then you can. And then on top of that, you get a picture and an autograph from both of us. All right. November 3rd and 4th, Berwyn, Illinois. LaSalle, Illinois. AAWrestling.com. Thursday, November 9th, Los Angeles, California. Facebook/Bar Wrestling LA. Friday, November 10th, San Francisco, California. APW is at cowpalace.com. Wednesday, November 22nd, Chicago, Illinois. We're doing a comedy show live at northbar.com. Come hang out with Marty and I before Thanksgiving. Friday, November 24th, Cleveland, Ohio, AIWrestling.com. Saturday, November 25th, Chicago, Illinois, AAWrestling.com. Friday and Saturday, December 8th and 9th, Brooklyn, New York, Rahway, New Jersey, WrestlePROOnline.com. December 24th, December 30th, and January 3rd, Tokyo, Japan, DDTPro.com. So maybe if you're going to the Dome, you can also check me wrestling at DDT. All right, that is the show for this week. Huge thank you to you guys at home for listening and telling a friend. Thanks to Hangman Page for coming on the show. Thanks to Cable Guy Jeff and Stu Stone. Kid Russell and Matt Jenkins on the music. Kid Russell's a brand new album coming out November 6th. Follow him. I'm in one of the videos. Check out his social media. Check out my social media. You'll see it all. Dane Miller and Creaky with Tech. Thank you very much. Highspots.com. They're a sponsor. A VOD service with PWG, $5 Wrestling, the Kevin Steen Shoot interviews, plus AMA knee pads, gear, mask, wrestling ring. OneHourTees.com. They help run Pro Wrestling. Crate.com. They help run Pro Wrestling. Tees.com. That's the store and the online place where you can support your favorite independent wrestler. TweakedAudio.com/Colt. The earbuds that give you over 30% off and free shipping just because you listen to this show. I just got some new Bluetooth babies from Tweaked Audio. Excited for those. Bluetooth baby. All right. That is, that's it. We're done. Hey, Powerbomb TV. This is a lot of plugs happening in this episode. But Powerbomb TV has been streaming a lot of IWA Mid-South thanks to their new partnership with Smart Mark Video. So, been getting a lot of gifts of a 23-year-old Colt Cabana hanging out in the dirty IWA Mid-South wrestling rings that made me the wrestler that I am today. All right, friends, another Bullet Club one coming next week. Just please subscribe, and you'll see who it is next Thursday. But for now, this has been The Art of Wrestling. For Colt Cabana, I'm Colt Cabana. Thanks.
I'm drinking a little Red Bull, sugar-free. Pretty good. Just popped her.
Are you big on the Red Bulls?
yeah, I guess so, yeah. I used to didn't be because they cost too much.
But now that you got that big money?
But now that I get the big money, I'm just buying them left and right.